I'm going to try to speak to you today on this subject, Christ, our hope. Christ, our hope. My scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, in which Paul says this. This is the very first verse of the first epistle to Timothy, and he greets Timothy in this way. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Christ is our hope. Now, the Bible uses this word hope quite often. I know you've read it many times, and it's there just so many times, in reference to our relationship with God. It's a hope. It's a hope. It's a good hope. It's a blessed hope. He that hath this blessed hope. It's a living hope. It's a good hope through grace. But quite often, our relationship with God and our salvation is referred to as our hope. And usually, the word hope refers to two things. Now, when you think of hope, you think of two things. First of all, the grace of hope, the very existence of it. It's a hope and an expectation of good things to come. You see that? That's the first thing you think of when you think of the word hope. You expect something in the future. It's a hope. Good things to come. In other words, Paul writing to Titus said this, in hope of eternal life. Good things to come. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. He promised good things to come through Christ Jesus. He promised them before the world began. And then Paul, when he was giving that great definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1, he says, faith is the substance of good things. Things are good things hoped for. Good things hoped for in hope of eternal life. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. Good things. So when you think of hope, you think of good things to come. I have a good hope. I have a blessed hope. I have a good hope through grace. So there's something to follow, something to come. And then the second thing, when you think of the word hope, you've got to have a reason for it. In other words, if you hope for good things, you've got to have a foundation. You've got to have a reason. You've got to have an object. Hope's got to have an object, and that's what our text says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. We expect great and good things because Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Our Savior and our Lord. See that? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. So when you think of hope, you've got these two things. Expectation and foundation. Our expectation, our hope, is good things to come. Good things in the future. And the reason for that is Jesus Christ is our hope. And then in Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes this, Christ in you. It's not Christ in a book, or Christ, the Christ of history, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory, Christ in you. Now, Peter, when he writes about hope, he says in 1 Peter 3:15, now you've read these scriptures, but maybe I can make them plainer to you. Peter writes this in 1 Peter 3:15. He says, be ready, always, be always ready to give an answer to every man, doesn't matter who it is, that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. If anybody comes to you and you're talking about heaven and eternal life and the good things to come, and he says, well, give me a reason for this hope. And that's what you're to be ready to give, always a reason for the hope that's in you, Christ in you, a hope of good things to come, the hope of eternal life, the hope of eternal glory. Be ready to give a reason. And here's the reason. Now, here are those two things, expectation and the foundation. Now, here's the expectation. The grace of hope expect salvation from sin, redemption from sin. Isn't that right? Well, what's the foundation? Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That's our foundation. Our expectation is free, full salvation from sin. And our foundation is Christ saves us from sin. All right? What is our expectation? It's redemption and forgiveness. Redemption. And what's our foundation? In Christ we have redemption. The forgiveness of sin through the blood of his cross. Our expectation is redemption. And our reason, our foundation is Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. What's that? What's our expectation? Acceptance with God. Not so much a matter of my accepting God as him accepting me. It's not so much my knowing God as God knowing me. It's not so much my being satisfied, his being satisfied with me as my being satisfied with him. The grace of hope is acceptance with God. Now, what's the foundation? He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In Christ we're accepted. And then the grace of hope is this. The expectation is eternal life. Paul said to be absent from this body, be present with the Lord. On another occasion, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. How do you know it's far better? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Is gain to die? With most people, that's the worst thing that could happen. Paul said, it's the best thing that could happen. For me to die is gain. Well, what's the foundation for that kind of reasoning or that kind of hope? Here it is. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Is that clear to you? Is that clear? The expectation is good things to come. And the reason, the foundation, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hope you see that. We hope for good things to come. The glory of the kingdom of God. Eternal life, a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But the Scriptures are clear on the reason for this expectation. There's got to be a reason. Let me give you a few Scriptures where the word hope is used. I want you to watch these two things now. These two things are always there, the expectation and the foundation. The grace of hope, good things to come. And the foundation, a reason, or object of that hope is Christ Jesus. Now listen to Paul in Romans 5:2. Listen. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:5. We hope for the righteousness of God. We wait for the hope of righteousness in Christ Jesus our Lord. All the way through the Word is always when you have this, when you have this promise and this expectation, you have a reason for it. It's not based on our merit. We don't have hope of the righteousness of God because we're righteous. We have hope of the righteousness of God because Christ is righteous. We don't hope for the glory of God because we made peace with God. We hope for the glory of God because He made peace through the blood of His cross. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Listen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, even God our Father, hath given us a good hope through grace. That's where we got it from Him. He hath given us a good hope through grace. His grace, His mercy. Listen to Titus 2:13. Looking, expecting that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And John said, when we see Him, we'll be like Him. And he that hath this hope, this blessed hope, purifieth himself as he is pure. Isn't that clear? Looking for that blessed hope. What blessed hope? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no hope apart from Christ. There's no hope outside of Christ. There's no hope without Christ. It's in Him. And it's a blessed hope. It's a good hope through grace. It's a living hope because He lives. Hebrews 7:19. Listen to this. Our Lord Jesus Christ hath brought in a better hope. He brought it in. I'm trying to make this clear because it's the two most important things I can point out to you. The two most important things I know to preach about. A blessed hope. A living hope. A good hope of good things to come. All based upon His merit, His mercy, His grace, His sacrifice, His person. It's what it says all the way through the Word. Our Lord Jesus Christ hath brought in a better hope. 1 Peter 1:3. Listen to this. God hath begotten us again to a living hope. Not because we joined the church and were baptized. Not because I'm a preacher and you're a Sunday school teacher or choir leader. Not because you're living the best way you know how. God hath begotten us again unto living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how we obtain that good hope. He died and was buried and rose again for our justification. This verse in 1 Corinthians 1:30 sums it up. All that I've tried to say, the expectation, good things to come, glorious things to come, the foundation, because He loved me and gave Himself for me. I live because He lives. I have life because He's my life. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him trust in the Lord. Let him rest in the Lord. Let him hope in the Lord. For the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's so clear. Do you want to hear it again? We need to hear it over and over again. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things, I mean all things, into His hands. All things. And he that believeth on the Son hath all things. Everlasting life. And shall never come into condemnation. But he's already passed from death unto life. Now, I have three questions in the time remaining. I'm going to use these three questions as an outline to help us all understand and rest in Christ our hope. Christ, our hope. Now, here's the first question. What things do we hope for in Christ? When I talk about good things, what are the good things that we have in Christ? What are these good things? Secondly, what is there in Him that gives us such a good hope? What is there in Christ? What do you find in Christ that encourages you to have a hope? And thirdly, can we be sure we'll never be disappointed? That's a good question. Can you be sure that we'll never be disappointed? Now, here's question number one. What things, what are these good things that we hope for in Christ? Well, listen, I want you to hear this scripture. It is as if I've never read it before. When I came to this subject and found this scripture, it is as I've read it before, but it never lived like it lives right now. I'm talking about all things in Christ. All things believed and expected and hoped for. All things. Now listen carefully. Listen. Are you listening? 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? My question is, what things do we hope for in Christ? All things. His divine power, the very divine power of the living God, hath freely given, not sold it to us or loaned it to us, given it to us. All things. He's given unto us all things that pertain, everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The very knowledge of Jesus Christ is the grace of God. We know that the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. This is the true God. This is the knowledge. He that has seen me hath seen God. We have the forgiveness of sin through the merits of His blood. He was wounded for our transgressions. By His stripes we're healed. We have access to the Father. Seeing then we have such a great high priest, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, the throne of God, that we may find mercy, grace to help in time of need, access to God, that's in Christ, a perfect holiness. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the holiness of God in Him, the very holiness of God. Preservation and security. He that hath begun a good work in you shall finish it. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before His presence with exceeding glory. These are the things we have, all spiritual blessings in Christ. The resurrection of our bodies and the resurrection, He said, and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The promise of His coming. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be despondent. Don't despair. Don't despair. You believe in God, you believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, that where I go, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. And one of the disciples said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He's that hope. And our hope is only as great as He is. It's only as strong as He is. It's only as sure as He's surely the Lord God, our surety. It's only as positive and powerful as He is. Remember that scripture now. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. His divine power hath given us all things. All things that pertain, everything that pertains to life. What is it? Well, anything that pertains to life. Anything that pertains to godliness. Everything that pertains to salvation. Everything that pertains to heaven. He's given it, freely given to us through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it is. That's what we hope for, all those things. All right, here's the second question now. What is there in Christ that gives us such a hope? You see, people with confidence in themselves don't have hope like that. They don't have any assurance. People that are resting in a church or an organization or a denomination or an experience or a feeling or something of that sort, feelings go and feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. But how can we have such a strong, confident hope? Well, there are three things about Jesus Christ that give us a positive confidence, comfort, and strong hope. Three things. One, because of who He is. He's no ordinary man. He's the God-man. Behold, God, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with son and bring forth a child. And you call His name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government is on His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. We can have confidence in Him because of who He is. Because of who He is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Have you ever looked carefully at Hebrews 1? The first three verses of Hebrews 1, this is one of the greatest books in the Bible, one of the most powerful revelations of salvation and grace and godliness. Hebrews 1, the first three verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners and ways spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now listen to these marks of identification. Who this man is. Who this man is. I'm telling you, our hope. How can we have such confidence and assurance and hope in Christ? Because of who he is. Listen. His Son. By whom, or whom he hath appointed heir of all things. By whom he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of God's glory. Who's the exact image of his person. Who upholdeth all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of God. That's our assurance. Who he is. Who he is. All right. Here's the second thing. What did he do? Well, he came into this world. Paul said he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. Christ said himself, I'm come that they might have life. I'm come to seek and to save the lost. He came into the world to save sinners. And before he left this world, before he died on the cross, he prayed this prayer. He said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Finished it. We can have confidence in him because of what he's done. He came into the world. He finished the work God gave him to do. What was the work God gave him to do? When the angel came to Joseph and told him about Mary being with child of the Holy Ghost, he said, Joseph, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I finished the work you gave me to do. That was a direct message from heaven by way of an angel. Call his name Joshua, Jesus. He'll save all of his people from their sins. And that's what he did. He died for them. And he arose for them. And he enabled God to be just and justifier. That's right. Well, where is he now? Well, Paul said in Hebrews, at the right hand of God. Our forerunner has entered within the veil. And listen, where he is, not only that, but what he's doing. He's seated. Seated at the right hand of God. He's not pacing the floor. He's not wringing his hands. If a person is seated at the conclusion of a mission, if he's seated, then he did what he came to do. He finished what he came to do, and he's satisfied with what he came to do. He's seated. He's not concerned. He's not pacing the floor. He's not upset. He's seated. He finished what he came to do. He's completed what he came to do. He's satisfied with what he's done. And he's seated. And we're seated in him. Listen, what is there in Christ that gives us such a good hope? The person he is. The price he paid. And his presence at the right hand of God. Ah, my. What are the good things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Where are they? In Christ. Well, what is there in Christ to give us such hope? The person, the price, and the promise of God. This is for some. Hear him. And the presence of our Lord in heaven. I'm closing with this question. Can we be sure that in Christ we'll never be disappointed? Can we be sure? Well, in Romans 8, if you want an assignment for this afternoon, sit down and read Romans 8. Start with verse 28, the latter part of it, and you'll come across five questions that Paul asks. He starts with this. We know that all things that pertain to life and godliness, that's what we've been talking about. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Now, here's the first question. Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? You can be sure. If God's for you, who can be against you? What power? What person? Second question, verse 33. Who can condemn me? It's God that justified me. Can't get any higher than that. Who can condemn me? If God sets me free and He's the highest court, there's no further appeal. Third question. Well, who can condemn me? If Christ died for me, rose again, ascended to heaven, and intercedes for me, who can condemn me? Here's the next question. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord? Can tribulation or distress or death or nothing can separate us from the love of God? And here's the final question. If God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, well, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things that pertain to life and godliness?